Scripture reading tonight will be 1 Samuel chapter 17. Tonight, we will take the well-known story of David and Goliath as our sermon text. So we will read 1 Samuel 17, and the entire chapter is the text for the sermon. Let us hear the word of God. Now the Philistines gathered together their armies to battle, and were gathered together at Shoco, which belongeth to Judah, and pitched between Shoco and Azekah in Ephes-Damim. And Saul and the men of Israel were gathered together and pitched by the valley of Elah, and set the battle in array against the Philistines. And the Philistines stood on a mountain on the one side, and Israel stood on a mountain on the other side, and there was a valley between them. And there went out a champion out of the camp of the Philistines named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. And he had an helmet of brass upon his head, and he was armed with a coat of mail, and the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of brass. And he had greaves of brass upon his legs, and a target of brass between his shoulders. And the staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam, and his spear's head weighed 600 shekels of iron. And one bearing a shield went before him. And he stood and cried unto the armies of Israel, and said unto them, Why are ye come out to set your battle in array? Am not I a Philistine, and ye servants of Saul? Choose you a man for you, and let him come down to me. If he be able to fight with me and to kill me, then will we be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then shall ye be our servants and serve us. And the Philistine said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man, that we may fight together. When Saul and all Israel heard those words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. Now David was the son of that Ephrathite of Bethlehem, Judah, whose name was Jesse. And he had 8 sons, and the man went among men for an old man in the days of Saul. And the 3 eldest sons of Jesse went and followed Saul to the battle. And the names of his 3 sons that went to the battle were Eliab, and Eliab the firstborn, and next unto him Abinadab, and the 3rd Shema. And David was the youngest, and the 3 eldest followed Saul. But David went and returned from Saul to feed his father's sheep at Bethlehem. And the Philistine drew near morning and evening, and presented himself 40 days. And Jesse said unto David his son, Take now for thy brethren an ephah of this parched corn, and these 10 loaves, and run to the camp of thy brethren, and carry these 10 cheeses unto the captain of their 1,000, and look how thy brethren fare, and take their pledge. Now Saul, and they and all the men of Israel were in the valley of Elah fighting with the Philistines. And David rose up early in the morning and left the sheep with a keeper, and took and went as Jesse had commanded him. And he came to the trench as the host was going forth to the fight, and shouted for the battle. For Israel and the Philistines had put the battle in array, army against army. And David left his carriage in the hand of the keeper of the carriage, and ran into the army, and came and saluted his brethren. And as he talked with them, behold, there came up the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, out of the armies of the Philistines, and spake according to the same words. And David heard them. And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him, and were sore afraid. And the men of Israel said, Have ye seen this man that is come up? Surely to defy Israel is he come up. And it shall be that the man who killeth him The king will enrich him with great riches and will give him his daughter and make his father's house free in Israel. And David spake to the men that stood by him, saying, What shall be done to the man that killeth this Philistine and taketh away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? And the people answered him after this manner, saying, So shall it be done to the man that killeth him. And Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spake unto the men. And Eliab's anger was kindled against David, and he said, Why camest thou down hither? And with whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know thy pride and the naughtiness of thine heart, for thou art come down that thou mightest see the battle. And David said, What have I now done? Is there not a cause? And he turned from him toward another and spake after the same manner. And the people answered him again after the former manner. And when the words were heard which David spake, they rehearsed them before Saul, and he sent for him. And David said to Saul, Let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine. Saul said to David, Thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth, and he a man of war from his youth. David said unto Saul, Thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear, and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went out after him and smote him and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and smote and slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear. And this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God. David said, moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion, and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said unto David, Go, and the Lord be with thee. And Saul armed David with his armor, and he put an helmet of brass upon his head. Also he armed him with a coat of mail. And David girded his sword upon his armor, and he essayed to go, for he had not proved it. And David said unto Saul, I cannot go with these, for I have not proved them. And David put them off him. And he took his staff in his hand, and chose him 5 smooth stones out of the brook, and put them in a shepherd's bag which he had, even in a scrip. And his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. And the Philistine came on and drew near unto David, and the man that bare the shield went before him. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth, and ruddy, and of a fair countenance. And the Philistine said unto David, Am I a dog, that thou comest to me with staves? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, Come to me, and I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the field. Then said David to the Philistine, Thou comest to me with a sword, and with a spear, and with a shield. But I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee, and take thine head from thee. And I will give the carcass of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air, and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. And it came to pass, when the Philistine arose, and came and drew nigh to meet David, that David hasted and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. And David put his hand in his bag, and took thence a stone and slang it, and smote the Philistine in his forehead, that the stone sunk into his forehead, and he fell upon his face to the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone, and smote the Philistine and slew him. But there was no sword in the hand of David. Therefore David ran and stood upon the Philistine and took his sword and drew it out of the sheath thereof and slew him and cut off his head therewith. And when the Philistines saw their champion was dead, they fled. And the men of Israel and of Judah arose and shouted and pursued the Philistines until thou come to the valley and to the gates of Ekron. And the wounded of the Philistines fell down by the way to Shearim, even unto Gath and unto Ekron. And the children of Israel returned from chasing after the Philistines, and they spoiled their tents. And David took the head of the Philistine and brought it to Jerusalem, but he put his armor in his tent. And when Saul saw David go forth against the Philistine, he said unto Abner, the captain of the host, Abner, whose son is this youth? And Abner said, As my soul liveth, O king, I cannot tell. And the king said, Inquire thou whose son the stripling is. And as David returned from the slaughter of the Philistine, Abner took him and brought him before Saul with the head of the Philistine in his hand. And Saul said unto him, Whose son art thou, thou young man? And David answered, I am the son of thy servant Jesse, the Bethlehemite. Thus far we read the Holy Scriptures, that familiar story, David and Goliath. May the Lord bless the reading to our hearts. Beloved, we come to one of the most familiar stories in the Bible, the story of David and Goliath, and perhaps it is one of the favorites of many of the children sitting here tonight. A great story of a victory of a son of God, a young man who fought by faith and overcame the enemy of God's people. And it is a rich story with much instruction. That is why the Lord puts this history in the Bible. It is history written for our instruction. And so 1 Samuel 17 takes us back to a very different time in the history of the church. We go back into the Old Testament. We go back into the early days of the king during the reign of the very first king of national Israel, King Saul. And we find the people of Israel, the church of that day, in a very desperate situation. Israel was a small nation under their first king, Saul. And they were surrounded by aggressive and more powerful heathen nations. And one of their worst enemies was the Philistines. And we find them here in chapter 17. Israel being invaded by the hosts of the Philistines. The Philistines had invaded and they were now only 13 miles from Bethlehem, having penetrated deep into the land of Judah. Saul had hastily assembled the army of Israel, fewer and more poorly equipped than the host of the Philistines, no doubt, and came and encamped at Ephes Damim. There the two armies faced each other. They encamped on opposite sides of the hill, two mountains, between which there was the Valley of Elah, and they drew up their lines for the coming conflict. The odds already looked bad. But then Goliath of Gath appeared. Goliath, the towering champion of the Philistines. And according to the custom of that day, the champion came forth from the army and he challenged Israel to produce a champion of their own to fight with him. One of the customs practiced in ancient warfare was that two champions would meet on the field of battle. And this was a way perhaps to avoid great bloodshed of two armies clashing. And so the champions would fight, and the victor of that fight would be considered the victor of the battle. Goliath steps forward, the massive champion of the Philistines, and he issues his challenge to Israel. And Israel shrinks before the mighty champion Goliath. This shrinking back of Israel is one of the signs of their poor spiritual condition at this time. Though humanly we can understand how the people were frightened at the imposing figure of Goliath, nonetheless, the spiritual condition of the people was poor. Saul, by now, had revealed himself to be an unbelieving, unspiritual, and incompetent king. Saul had disqualified himself from the kingship by his outright disobedience to God. The Spirit of God had been taken from Saul and given to the newly anointed king, the young lad David. And the people under Saul were languishing in a condition of poor spirituality. As the king fell into sin, so the people were led astray. And now God was chastising his people with this invading foe of the Philistines. And so the situation is bleak. The army of Israel looks as though it will not be able to overcome its foes. A champion is needed. And that brings us to the significance of this Bible history. The significance centers on the champion that the Lord God provides to deliver his people from a seemingly impossible situation, from what seemed to be sure defeat. And that champion, an anointed champion, is the young boy David, whom the Lord raises up to deliver Israel. This history is important for us because it has spiritual significance. It is not only the history of God's work of saving and delivering his people in the past, but it is also history that is a picture of how God saves and delivers us now and what he has done for us. David is the anointed champion raised up by the Lord, but David is a picture of his greater son, the Lord Jesus Christ. This is ultimately the significance of the story of David and Goliath. It shows us Jesus Christ. There is so much rich instruction packed into this lengthy chapter. You could have a short series of sermons on David and Goliath, but that central idea is what we want to see tonight. How this is a story about our victory through the anointed champion, the Son of David, the Lord Jesus Christ, who God raised up to overcome our great enemies and to deliver us from the impossible situation of our sins, death, the devil, and his whole dominion. David and Goliath, in that sense, is a story about the deliverance of every Christian through our anointed champion, Jesus Christ. And so, children, tonight, as you listen to a sermon on this well-known story, that's the thing I want you to remember most. In the story of David and Goliath, we have a picture of Jesus and what Jesus has done to save you. Let's consider this text then under the theme, Israel delivered from the terrifying giant. Notice in the first place, delivered from a terrifying foe. Secondly, delivered by an anointed champion. And thirdly, delivered unto glorious victory. We come to the history and we find Israel in a battle. And the battle that Israel faced seemed impossible to win because there loomed at the forefront of the Philistine line an overwhelming foe, a terrifying giant. You children know what Goliath looked like, right? A giant. The Bible tells us he was 6 cubits and a span tall, and that's roughly translated into 9.5 feet. 9.5 feet. Saul, who is noted to be a head taller than the men of Israel, was dwarfed by this giant. And this giant was a man of war, a man of unmatched physical strength. As verse 33 tells us, he was a man of war from his youth. He was a champion. Tested in combat, a grizzled veteran, a man who lived for the thrill of battle and delighted in cruelly killing and terrifying his enemies. A giant, a terrifying giant, and a terrifying giant outfitted with the best equipment available to warriors in that day. The scriptures spend time describing the physical appearance, the armor and the weapons of Goliath. And the whole point of that is to illustrate for us what a terrifying, mighty foe this giant was. Goliath's armor and his helmet were made of sturdy bronze. His breastplate of overlapping bronze scales, we're told, weighed 5,000 shekels. That's 150 pounds. Just his breastplate. The iron head of his spear alone weighed 17 pounds. Think of a giant harpoon used by whalers. You get an idea of maybe what this spear would have been like, with a staff like a weaver's beam and a 17-pound iron head. What a weapon. And Israel stood and they looked at this champion and they saw invincible. They saw an enemy that they could never overcome. This armed and armored, fierce, terrifying giant. No matter what champion Israel produced, what could they do to him? Any blow they might land upon him would harmlessly bounce from the giant encased in bronze before their champion would succumb to the overwhelming strength of Goliath, a terrifying foe. And this giant knew he was terrifying. So he was also a boastful and defiant foe. He defies Israel. As we read the passage, we maybe get a sense of the delight, the glee that this wicked man had and the terror that he sowed among the Israelite host. We get a sense of that in verse 8, where Goliath issues his defiant challenge to God's covenant people. Verse 8. In verse 8, Goliath says, "Why are ye come out to set your battle in array? Am not I a Philistine, and ye the servants of Saul? Choose you a man for you, and let him come down to me." And then in verse 10, "I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man, that we may fight together." You hear the mockery in Goliath's voice. "Look, here I am, a Philistine. Come, give me your best. Fight me." Will you imagine, in the ranks of the Israelites, how no one stepped forward take up that challenge. And as no one came forward, Goliath's challenge moves to defy God himself. Goliath not only challenges the armies of Israel, he defies the God of Israel. And by defying Israel, Goliath is challenging God. Let's see what this God of Israel can do. We've heard the stories, how allegedly he delivered them from Egypt, how allegedly he brought them into this land of Canaan. Let's see what this God of Israel is capable of. Defiant unbelief and blasphemy proceeded from the mouth of this terrible, horrible giant. That's the foe facing Israel. Let's understand that in this history, there are spiritual dynamics here. This is not simply some ancient battle between two ancient kingdoms. What we have here is an important chapter in the world, in the ongoing conflict between the seed of the woman and the seed of the serpent. There is a spiritual battle going on here. The hatred manifest in Goliath's speech is the hatred of the seed of the serpent for the seed of the woman. Behind the Philistine champion Goliath is the devil himself, seeking to destroy God's covenant people and prevent the coming of Christ. Goliath is Satan's champion. He represents all that Satan has in this world, his might and his power. This is a spiritual battle in which Satan, moving the nations, spirit of Antichrist at work, is moving the nations to swallow up God's covenant people and disinherit them. The Philistines want nothing more than to bring Israel back into bondage, just like Egypt. This is all a picture. This history is typical history. Now we move from the history, looking at the terrifying foe, and we apply it to our age. What is Goliath a picture of for us? This situation, this battle between Israel and the Philistines, is a picture of the ongoing battle in which we are involved. The battle between the kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of God. The battle of the church militant against the terrifying giant foes that seek to destroy and disinherit her. So positively, what is Goliath a type of, a picture of? Goliath is a picture of the Christian's threefold enemy. The devil, the wicked world, and even our own sinful flesh. As we already said, Goliath represents the champion of Satan. He is Satan's instrument in the world at this time to destroy the covenant people of God. Goliath represents the power of the devil, the great, immense power of the devil who is our first and fiercest adversary, the devil who was the first rebel, the first one who defied the living God, the devil who pursues a relentless warfare against God's covenant people. That's Goliath. Goliath is also the world. Behind Goliath were marshaled the armies of the Philistines, outfitted with the iron weapons of the day, the best military technology that there was at that time. The unbelieving world, our giant enemy, were the agents of Satan, who he uses to attack, to persecute, to threaten, to seduce the church. And yes, our own sinful flesh even. Of our threefold enemy, this is perhaps the most deadly and dangerous. Our own sinful flesh. Beloved, you and all have a Goliath in us. You and I have a Goliath in us. And that Goliath is our old man. We mustn't think about the old man as some weak cripple inside of us who we easily fight against and easily overcome. He's a Goliath. That's why it's such a struggle. In our battle of daily conversion, we're wrestling Goliath. Our threefold enemy. He's a giant. He's terrifying. He's fierce. He's powerful. Far more powerful than us. He's cruel. He's defiant. This is Satan. This is the world in which we live. This is our sinful flesh that we face. Just like the Philistine host, we as the church, we face enemies who are equipped with the best weapons that are available. Satan has principalities and powers and rulers of the darkness of this world, spiritual wickedness in high places, all behind him. Satan has the powers of the culture, the powers of man's philosophy, the powers of secular education, the powers of science, secular science, all of which he uses to put pressure upon the church to defy God. And the list could go on and on. The weapons that our Goliath-like enemy holds in his hands. That's Israel's situation, and beloved, that's our situation in this life. We face Goliath, out there and in here. Seems like an impossible situation. How can victory ever be obtained? Perhaps we are destined to be the bond servants of the Philistines, the Israelites must have thought. But God saves. That's the message of the whole scripture. God saves. Salvation is of the Lord. And this passage illustrates that important truth throughout the Bible. Jehovah saves. And he saves now in our text through the provision of an anointed champion to fight and to overcome the terrifying giant that is Goliath. The battle seemed lost. Then David, the young son of Jesse, arrived at the Valley of Elah. He arrived wearing his shepherd's clothes, driving a little carriage with a companion, carrying some parched corn, some loaves of bread, and 10 cheeses for the commander of his brother's unit. He had come with instructions of his father to find his 3 eldest brothers who were serving in the army at this time, to bring them these gifts, and also to ascertain whether they were doing well, and to take a pledge from them. Likely that means Jesse wanted some assurance that they were safe, and that they were doing well and that they would come home. Perhaps news had spread throughout the countryside of the terrifying foe that his sons were facing in battle. And so David arrives at the scene of the battle just as the battle lines are being drawn, the soldiers are marching, the battle cry is being raised. And so David, seeking his brothers, enters into the battle lines. And he hears that challenge of Goliath of Gath as the champion steps forward. And David is astonished at first by the unbelief of the men of Israel, their weak faith in the face of this terrifying foe. The mightiest men in Israel shrank from this giant. Verse 11 says, they were dismayed, greatly afraid, literally shattered with fear. They melted inside of themselves. Their courage broke to pieces. We can understand that. And yet there's more to this shattered state of the men of Israel than simple natural fear at an imposing enemy. Faith is never shattered. These men were not living by faith. They were not looking at the battlefield through the eyes of faith. Faith in the Almighty God is not shattered even when a great enemy or great obstacle or great trial enters life. No, it is very true, our weak faith sometimes we fail and we fall. Faith is not shattered. These men were looking at the battlefield without the eyes of faith. They saw that mighty arm of the flesh of Goliath, and it seemed to them, to these physical eyes, far mightier than the invisible arm of Jehovah. And is that not the case? Are we not prone to that? What we see seems more real than what we do not see. We tend very easily to doubt, to distrust the God that we cannot see. We must not be harsh with these men of Israel. We can understand their weak faith, their lack of faith. They forgot the promise of God given to their forefathers by Joshua. Be strong and of a good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, He it is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee nor forsake thee. They forgot that. So when Goliath came from the ranks once again, day after day, they shrank. But the text brings out the amazing faith of David in contrast to the weak faith of the men of Israel. We must understand, of course, that this faith of David was not something he produced of himself. God gave it to him. Faith is a gift of God. We see God working here because David is God's champion, whom God equips for this work of fighting the enemies of his people. David responds in a very different way than the rest of the Israelites. What does David say? Verse 26. Verse 26. And David spake to the men that stood by him, saying, what shall be done to the man that killeth this Philistine, and taketh away the reproach from Israel? Now this part. For who is this uncircumcised Philistine, that he should defy the armies of the living God? There is faith. There is the word of faith and trust in God. Who is this uncircumcised Philistine? That is, who is this enemy of the covenant, this enemy of Jehovah, that he should dare to defy the Almighty God of Israel? David is looking with spiritual eyes. He sees the spiritual warfare that's going on. He remembers the word God gave through Joshua to the people that God would be with them and never forsake them, and that God would go with them in the battle against these spiritual enemies. Israel saw an invincible giant. David saw an uncircumcised Philistine who had defied the living God. David saw Goliath for who he really was, the spiritual enemy of God's people, the champion of the devil, who cannot stand before the living God. And that understanding, that strong faith God gave to David, enabled him to step forward now and face this mighty enemy of God's people. As we read on in the passage, what David says is rehearsed before Saul, and Saul, hearing about this young lad in the army, calls David to him. And David declares to Saul that he would do what no other man in Israel dared to do. He would go and fight this giant and vindicate the name of Jehovah. We find David's beautiful confession of faith before Saul now in verse 32. Verse 32. And David said to Saul, "Let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine." Let no man's heart fail. I will go. David isn't calling attention to himself. It's not as if I am so great. Trust in me. David is here calling Israel to put their trust in Jehovah. The Lord delivered this whole land to them, not by the edge of their sword, but by His almighty hand. David trusts that his God will deliver this defiant, blasphemous champion into his hand also. Saul tries to dissuade David, of course, in verse 33, "Thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth, and he a man of war from his youth." Saul is still looking at things through the eyes of the flesh. But then David, he replies, verses 34 through 37, he talks about his experiences as a shepherd, about how a lion and a bear came against his flock, and even snatched a lamb away from the flock, and how he arose, and he smote those ferocious creatures, rescued the lamb out of their mouths. David says, "The Lord who was with me then will be with me now." What faith that God had worked in this young man. That's the logic of faith. God was with me in the lesser danger. He gave me strength to overcome the lion and the bear for the protection of my father Jesse's flock. How much more will Jehovah be with me when I go forward to face this Philistine for the protection of the flock of Jehovah, his Israel? It's the logic of faith. The logic of faith that makes no sense to the world. The logic of faith that makes no sense to our flesh. Because all it is trusting in Jehovah and believing that He will be faithful to His promises and accomplish His good purpose. It's not that David had no natural fear. The Bible doesn't talk about that, but we can well imagine that David had some apprehension as he would go out and face this fierce giant. But God gave him that grace, strengthened his faith to do what we would never do of ourselves. Again, salvation is of the Lord. You see that here in David. So David goes forth. He goes forth from Saul after Saul tries to fit him with his armor and David puts it off. The armor would not fit him. And it wouldn't be faithful for him to use it. David knows he's not going to face Goliath with cold steel if he is to win the battle. The Lord must win it for him without the edge of the sword. So we come to the battle. David goes through the valley, crosses a brook, picks up a few 5 smooth stones, puts them in his shepherd's bag, and goes to face Goliath. As we come to the battle with Goliath, I want to call your attention to 4 things about this battle. This battle is a battle of champions. But in the first place, let us know that it is a battle of unequal champions. according to the eyes of flesh. To everyone that stood watching, as David now approaches the defiant, towering Goliath, to everyone who watches, the end of this battle is a foregone conclusion. On one side stood monstrous Goliath, clothed in bronze. On this side comes little David, in his rough shepherd's clothes, carrying a wooden stick and a sling. Everyone knows what's going to happen. How the Israelites must have cried out in dismay, seeing that this is the champion that they produced. It's over. We, our wives and our children, are going to be the servants of the Philistines. There's no way. And how the Philistines must have jeered and banged their spears against their shields, seeing this little boy come out of the lines of Israel. Goliath, too, sees David approaching him. Hatred and scorn in his voice says, "Am I a dog? Thou comest to me with staves." And Goliath curses David and David's God by the name of his heathen gods. Goliath now draws near. "Come to me," he says in verse 44, "and I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the field." A battle of the most unequal champions. Now, children, you know what happens, right? Little David, up against giant Goliath. They come closer to each other. What does David say? Verse 45. "Thou comest to me with a sword, and with a spear, and with a shield. But I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied." The name of the Lord. That's the weapon that David brings to the battle. The name of the Lord. The name Jehovah. The covenant God. David is saying, "I don't come with any weapon of the world like you have, Goliath. I come in the name of the Almighty God." Whose battle this is. He is the God of his people. He saves. He defends. He preserves his church. He is the God who judges the enemies and the oppressors of his people. He will have the victory. In the name of the Lord. Goliath charges. Draws close to David, perhaps hefting his mighty spear or raising his large sword. David, in the calmness of faith, pulls that smooth stone from his shepherd's bag, fits it in the sling, and lets the stone fly. Sovereign hand of God guides that stone so that it strikes the towering, terrifying giant in the forehead. And he comes crashing down to the ground. David, the little boy from Judah, David, the anointed champion of the Lord, rushes up and draws that mighty sword from its sheath and separates Goliath's head from his body. Victory for Israel through God's anointed champion. Though it was a battle of unequal champions, it was a battle won. Because it was the Lord's battle who wins his battles, not by the sword, not by the weapons of the world, but by his name, and by his power. So we've noticed that this battle is a battle of unequal champions. It's a battle in the name of the Lord. And finally, let's note that it was a battle in which David fought as Israel's representative. He's the champion. He stepped forward and he represented all of God's people. He fought on behalf of God's people, and by God's grace, he obtained the victory for God's people, a representative champion. Fourth, David fought to preserve Israel's inheritance. And that's what this victory over Goliath did. It preserved Israel's inheritance in the land of Canaan, kept them from being brought into bondage by the Philistines. And now these four things are important when we turn to apply this history spiritually now. we've seen how Goliath is a picture of our threefold enemy. He's a picture of the devil. He's a picture of the wicked world. He's a picture of our own sinful flesh. We've seen how our threefold enemy is a terrifying, mighty giant that we cannot prevail against ourselves. But now we apply the history we have just looked at. David, the other champion, who faces Satan's champion. David is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, the seed of the woman who would come from the loins of David so many years later. Jesus Christ, a greater than David, for he would be both God and man, Emmanuel, the Messiah, the chosen mediator of the covenant, the captain of his people's salvation, the Lord Jesus Christ. He is God's anointed champion. Fights for us and overcomes our spiritual enemies. And the battle between the Lord Jesus Christ and our spiritual Goliath, is it not a battle of seemingly unequal champions? When Christ, the champion of the church, came into this world, he was born in a lowly stable, humble, lowly, unimpressive. Isaiah the prophet prophesied of him, "He shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of dry ground. He hath no form or comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him." A lowly Savior born in a lowly manger, who lived his life in the backwater of the Roman Empire, who died on a cross. This is the Messiah of God. Not mighty Archangel Michael, but a lowly babe in Bethlehem, and a teacher who ministered in the backwater of the Roman Empire. And yet, it was this Christ, God in the flesh, God the Son, veiled behind the humility of the human flesh that he assumed to himself, this Christ was God's anointed champion who came, and all his life long he fought. He fought against our threefold enemy. He fought against the devil. He fought against the wicked world. He fought against sin. And Golgotha, Calvary, is the fulfillment of what happened so many years ago in the Valley of Elah. When on Calvary, our champion overthrew the spiritual Goliath. And he did it in the most amazing way, by yielding himself up to die on the cross. He was crucified by his enemies. He was crucified, put to death by the powers of the devil. Jews, the Romans, scribes, the Pharisees, all united against him to crucify the Son of Glory. And yet, he conquered. He crushed the serpent's head. He bore the penalty for the sins of all of his elect people so that we are freed from the chains of guilt, freed from condemnation, given life eternal. He overcame the world on the cross, a battle of unequal champions in which God's anointed champion emerges victorious. And it was a battle in the name of God. Was that not our Savior, whose meat was to do his Father's will? His whole earthly life long, his whole earthly life, he lived for the glory of God's name, for the carrying out of the work God had given him to do. And as our champion, he conquered by being obedient unto death to the will of his Father. Jesus is the name of God, Jehovah, salvation. In a certain sense, David cried Jesus when he approached Goliath in the name of God. Jesus, the name of God, conquers our foes and rescues us from their tyranny. Just as David fought as the representative of Israel, Jesus fought on the cross as the representative of his people, his elect. He bore our sins. He didn't go to the cross for himself. He went there for us, just as David went before Goliath for the people of Israel. And the victory that he wins, that he has won, is our victory. As David then preserved the inheritance of God's people in Canaan, Christ fulfills that picture and has earned for us and preserves for us that imperishable inheritance of the saints in light, glory with God, the perfection of his covenant, a place at the table and in the house of God. These things were won and secured for us by our anointed champion, Jesus Christ, who fought and defeated the devil, his whole dominion, the power of sin, death, the world, all our enemies. Children, what does the story of David and Goliath teach you? It teaches you that Jesus is victorious. When you think about this story, David slaying Goliath, think about something even greater that happened. Jesus crushing the head of Satan through his death on the cross, and saving you from your sins, your enemies. That's what the story of David and Goliath is ultimately about. The end of all this battle was victory for the covenant people, delivered unto glorious victory. It was a glorious victory, because it was a gracious victory, and it was a total victory. David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone. He smote the Philistine. He slew him. There was not a sword in his hand because the battle was the Lord's. It was a gracious victory. Israel could not win. David could not win. The only way they won was because God graciously fought the battle for them. Gracious victory. Salvation is gracious. Salvation is of the Lord. That's what David and Goliath teaches us. The battle was the Lord's. God made clear to all the earth, as David said, and to all the assembly there gathered, that there was a God in Israel, and that he was the only true God who is always faithful to his covenant people, and that he is almighty, who uses the most unlikely means to conquer even the greatest foes. Gracious victory for Israel. They didn't deserve it. They were all cowering in the weakness of their faith. Their king was the unbelieving Saul. They deserved none of it. Yet God graciously provides his champion. Because he's always faithful to his word. He never forsakes his people. Even when they're the least deserving of his grace. Not only was it a gracious victory, it was a total victory. As we read in the end of the chapter, the Philistines, seeing their towering champion fall to the ground, flee in a panic. And with renewed zeal and renewed courage, the men of Israel rise up and chase the Philistines all the way to the gates of Ekron. And it's a great rout. The Israelites come back and they spoil the tents of their enemies. Israel is totally victorious. And such a total victory is only possible through God's grace. There is no victory apart from God's grace. With God's grace, with the Lord on our side, there's only one victory, total victory. What was true for Israel is true for us. This is a picture of our glorious victory, beloved. And it's all of grace. When we face the Goliath of Satan, when we face the Goliath of the world, when we wrestle with the Goliath inside of us, we're doomed. If left to ourselves. And we deserve it. We brought it upon ourselves by our original sin in Adam and by our actual sins every day. And yet, our God does not forsake us. He never forsakes His people whom He foreknew. And He has provided us that anointed champion, Jesus Christ, who has won for us the victory, salvation by grace through Christ alone and His cross, gracious victory. And the victory of the cross is a total victory. We confess that comfort that is ours in Lord's Day 1, and we speak about how we've been freed from all the tyranny of the devil. We mean it. All the tyranny of the devil. And that the Lord defends and preserves His people against the wicked world. He does. And our victory is total. He has overcome the world. And in Him, we overcome the world. Our sin, He took it to the cross. He nailed the ordinances that were against us to the cross. He mortified our old man at the cross. There is no condemnation now to those who are in Christ Jesus. Our anointed champion has vanquished sin. Yes, the reality remains. We're in this dark world. We yet face these enemies. The victory is accomplished in principle. And the victory will reach perfection on the day of our Lord's return. So, people of God, we fight in victory and we proceed on to victory. Let that be applied to the individual circumstances of your life. What are the enemies you're facing? Is it pressure from the world? Has the devil worked powerfully in your life, in the life of your family, where you've seen his horrible power? It's like a giant Goliath. Are you wrestling with that Goliath inside of you? So that sin has you in its grips. You're struggling to get out. Look to your anointed champion who conquered sin for you, who guarantees your victory. You will overcome. Your enemies will not conquer you. You are more than a conqueror in Christ who loved you. Look to Him. Rest in Him. Trust in Him. Fight with His strength. Let your confession be David's. Let no man's heart fail because of these enemies. But then change the words. For my champion, the Lord Jesus Christ, will go and has gone and has fought these giants. And I am victorious in Him. That's our confidence and our comfort from this well-known story. Amen. O Lord God in heaven, we thank Thee for the glorious truth that Thou dost reveal in the history recorded in Thy Word. Bless this word to us, that it may strengthen us in our battle, so that we know and may believe that we have the victory and shall never be overcome, fierce and great and mighty though our foes be. We thank Thee for our anointed champion, Jesus Christ, who has fought the battle and gotten us the victory. Amen.